from Mamma Mia. Hi, I'm Claire Murphy. Welcome to The Quickie, getting you up to speed daily. 24-year-old Michaela Dunn had her life stolen from her in Sydney last week. She'd finished her studies in marketing and communications at Notre Dame University. From a middle-class family, she was still working at Ten Pin City Bowling Alley, the place she'd worked since she was 16. But it was how Michaela, or Mickey to her friends, supplemented that income that has the nation talking.
Her name is Michaela Dunn. She was a 24-year-old sex worker from Lidcombe.
Today, we're going to discover whether reports that up to a third of the women who are in sex work in Australia right now are recruited straight out of university. And why, in 2019, we still treat sex workers as if they're not equal to any other chosen profession. Michaela Dunn was tragically murdered last week. She'd been running her business as a sex worker out of a city apartment when a man who'd come to her for her services took her life.
He allegedly texts an escort service who had advertised a 30-minute girlfriend experience online. Police say a number of texts were sent back and forth before Nay made an appointment for 1:30, agreeing to pay $250 for a half-hour in-call service at a Clarence Street unit. He allegedly arrived at 1:44, carrying a large kitchen knife before buzzing Unit 26.
While the focus would be on his mental health and his potential links to terrorism and his family's response, it would be Michaela's choice of profession that would take us down a whole other avenue of discussion. According to reports, Michaela's friends and family didn't know that the beautiful, well-educated, middle-class girl was working in the sex industry. But her story isn't an unusual one. According to some in the industry, up to a third of all women in sex work today have been recruited straight out of university. And it's not always because they're struggling to make ends meet, have a habit to maintain, or don't have the skills to make a go of it in another industry. If you're at uni and you need money to pay the rent or other things, like in Michaela's case, her passion for overseas travel, you have limited options. You can apply for government assistance, but with what we hear about dealing with Centrelink, the little money you have to live on and the fact a robo-debt can come at you without warning, that can be more trouble than it's worth. To fit a job in around classes, you can maybe get work in hospitality, but the money isn't great, and there isn't a whole lot that will work around study. But sex work can. For some, that means working in a regulated brothel, where in some states of Australia it's legal, and there's safety in numbers. But others are using websites where you can post an ad in the personal section advertising your services. Cameron Cox is the chief executive of the government-funded Sex Workers Outreach Program, who says people using sex work to get through university is not new. Cameron, have you spoken to women in the industry who've said they've been so-called recruited into the business? We're imagining people on campus, you know, handing out flyers. Is this actually happening?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard from any sex workers that that's happened, and I haven't heard of it through any sex worker networks that that's happened. I have been told by a journalist who's done a story on this issue from The Australian that they've seen some classified ads where brothels that were advertising for workers, and it said something to the effect, this job is suitable for university students. My organisation works in harm minimisation around sex work, and we're funded to keep the extremely low rates of STIs and HIV eliminated from the industry, which we do. And we do go to universities and talk to people. Sometimes we set up stalls at events at universities, but that's a harm minimisation exercise, and we will only talk to people about sex work itself if they come up and identify as already being a sex worker. Right. And then we will talk to them about harm minimisation strategies, sexual health, sexual safety, physical safety, how to pay tax, all the things that you need to know to be in the industry.
Well, let's talk about the fact that you are quite open about the fact that you worked in the sex industry when you were at university. Why did you decide to do that rather than, say, get a gig behind a bar like others do?
The reason I did sex work through university was that I looked around at the available options for financing myself through university, and it was the one that gave me the most money per hour, because you make quite a lot of money in 1 hour, but it's only 1 hour. And then there's a lot of free time, which is good for study. There's a lot of flexibility. And it was much better than the job I had been doing for a little while, which was cleaning up building sites for, I think, $4 an hour. And it's a long time ago that I first worked. And being able to do half-hour jobs at $40 and full-hour jobs at $80 at that stage, when $80 paid the whole week's rent, was much better than working for $4 an hour.
So the offset of that, of course, is there's a lot of discussion about safety in the sex work industry. So how do you run a business like that and stay safe? Whereas, you know, working on a building site, you obviously have a company that is insured, that has, I don't know, you have to wear certain articles of clothing to make sure you're safe. How do you then stay safe in that industry?
Well, first of all, in the building industry, I wasn't looked after. I was a casual. I never had a hard hat. I was never even given any induction to safety at all. And yet I and my friends who were employed clambered all over buildings quite dangerously. So the first thing there, but I'm also a guy, and the violence that does occur in the sex industry is gendered violence. It's violence of men against women, and it is exactly the same violence that occurs and is endemic, unfortunately, in our society, of men perpetrating violence against women. And there's no evidence that we have that there is more violence against the women in the sex industry than there is against women, unfortunately, walking through parks or women walking home fairly early in the night from a night at the pub. It's happened to Jill Meyer, the ABC newsreader in Melbourne as well. The only thing that may contribute to violence against women in the sex industry is things like the enormous publicity that's been given to this recent event, which has also highlighted the vulnerability of people working alone, and especially of women working alone, and the what we call whorephobia and the devaluation by the media and by society of women who sex work, that puts in the minds of men who are predatory and violent that sex working women are an easy target. Because on the whole, in the minds of men, and I'm a man brought up in a very redneck, misogynistic town in central west New South Wales, that's inculcated in men from a very early age, the predatory nature it was when I was a young man, in a very redneck town of this violent culture that does exist within men in our society, and the predatory nature and how it's directed towards women. And if you point out a vulnerable woman, a cowardly man feels empowered to attack. That's a very personal opinion, but that's how I see it.
Mm. How then in the sex industry is it viewed? Because a lot of people now are taking it into their own hands. They have the ability to advertise online. They can use their social media. They can go through a lot of these websites. As opposed to working legally in a brothel, how is that viewed within the sex worker industry? Is there a different feeling towards people, women especially, who decide to go it on their own?
Okay, those women are working legally as well. So this business about legal, illegal, illegal brothels, legal brothels, and the perception that's been perpetrated that somehow anybody who's working outside what the media terms as a legal brothel is putting themselves at risk is absolute bullshit. The risks that do exist are risks that exist, for example, accountants who work alone, taxi drivers who drive taxis, any type of worker who works alone. And when you're going down into a granular level between brothels, private work, brothels that may or may not have their correct council DA, it's not a factor that affects people's safety. For example, the president of our organisation has been a sex worker for over 40 years. They're also a registered nurse and they work in nursing. They will tell you that they have never been attacked or suffered any violence as a sex worker over those 40 years, but over their shorter nursing career, they've been attacked about 5 times.
Puts it all in perspective, doesn't it?
Much. Put it in perspective. And at the moment, there's been a huge loss of perspective. And I've got to say this, that loss of perspective is being exploited by the media and other groups to vilify sex work and sex workers. And to do that on the death of a very wonderful and beautiful person is reprehensible, in my opinion.
Outside of legitimate sex work, there are some grey areas, like sugar baby, sugar daddy websites, services that match older businessmen with younger women for relationships with a financial benefit. Some in the US specifically speak about college-aged women, one saying it's no secret that these individuals make up a significant portion of their user base, quoting, "Whether a relationship with us will help our members worry a little less about her tuition bills or help her build a professional network of contacts." Some sites are even offering free premium memberships if your email has .edu in it. Peter Fleming is a professor at the University of Technology, Sydney, and the author of Sugar Daddy Capitalism, The Dark Side of the New Economy. Peter, these sugar daddy websites, are they actually targeting Australian university students as well?
It seems that they are. The latest evidence seems to be pointing to a rather concerted attempt to recruit students who are in need of cash, who might be having trouble with fees or what have you. So it seems to be kind of a major target for their recruitment process.
Are you surprised that women are turning to something like sex work during their university days to make ends meet? Is the economy where it stands at the moment in Australia in a place where it is helpful for students, or is it working against students at university level?
You know, it depends on who you talk to. It's a very politically charged question, but I don't think it's coincidental that you see the rise of these types of websites that are allowing middle-class people to enter into what they would consider to be something they would not normally do, such as sex work. With the erosion of middle-class living standards and the kind of shift of a lot of the expenses that students experience onto them as their sole responsibility, I don't think it's coincidental with those broader socioeconomic conditions that we would see more and more young women being tempted to enter into these so-called arrangements with older men through these websites. And if you don't have that economic clout behind you, if you're not from a wealthy family and you don't have the money, but you still want to enter into university education because of the benefits it can bring, then your options do narrow. And this is one opportunity presented for young women to make ends meet.
Do we see, and what we heard in Michaela's case, do we see women who are recruited during university staying on in sex work because of that lifestyle that they are able to maintain?
It's difficult to know. The data on the trends and the actual details of this covert sex industry is very, very obscure and very difficult to obtain because it's kept so hush-hush by various parties involved. But whether this is a pathway into mainstream sex work is difficult to say.
I guess if we lift the stigma off of talking about sex work, maybe you could get access to more of that data.
Yeah, well, that's right. Look, it's difficult enough to get it on the regular sex industry for obvious reasons, because there's definitely tends to be a lot of stigma around that. But this is sex work that's been pushed back into the informal economy, like in the old days, you know, when it was illegal. It still happened, but it was really kind of behind the scenes and you didn't really know what was happening. And this is kind of, you know, if we take away all of the digital apps and so forth, it is really a regression, a back to the old days in which sex work happened in the black market rather than in a regulated space.
Sex work is not new. It's called the oldest profession for a reason. So the fact that we're still debating the worth of its employees in 2019 does seem ridiculous. A woman choosing to make her money as a sex worker is not a target for our judgment. Whether or not she's able to do that in a safe environment without having to put her life at stake, just like she would in any other job, is. Right now, there are signs placed all around the entrance of Michaela's apartment building. One says, "Sex workers all over the world stand with you, Michaela. You're missed and loved. Stigma kills." Another says, "I hope you're somewhere safe, not dictated by male violence. Sex workers matter." Rest in peace, Michaela, a victim of violence, not her choice of profession. That's all for The Quickie today. For more episodes, head to mamamia.com.au/thequickie. And if there's a new story you'd like us to investigate, shoot us an email, thequickie@mamamia.com.au.